culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you guys know me, man. I'm working right up here till showtime. Just heard the Holy Spirit whisper something in my ear, and I want to get this to Jared. But Jared, I want us to get this thing rolling here. Got Russ Dizdar with us. We're not going to waste any time at all. But I got to tell you something. The devil is. I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the camera. I'll be right with you. The devil has done a great job, again, of convincing us he's not real. He's not real. Follow the yellow brick road. Right? They've taken the devil and they've made him appear to be a whatever. I just sent you a little clip, Jared. I don't know if you get a chance to get it up there. Hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us here this morning. We got Russ's, it's Tuesdays with Russ, although we haven't officially called it that. We're glad to have him on. But, you know, we just got back, as I said yesterday, we got back from Austin, Texas. And some of us who went there, we went for that pro-life rally, anti-abortion rally. How about, hey, I came up with a new term. I heard this. Guys, listen. You have to hear the Holy Spirit. I heard this. We have to stop calling them pre-born babies. Stop calling them that. Let's call them premature. Because I heard a commercial the other day as I was driving home talking about how many of these premature babies are being born and how they're fighting. It was a good commercial, how they're fighting to save the premature babies. We need to go from pre-born to premature. Makes all the difference in the world. People understand that word premature, and don't forget this. It's always about the language. That's why the left has become so good. They constantly are changing the words on us. We can't even keep up with them, what it is we mean, right? Okay, here's what I want to do before we get Russ in here. I asked Jared, pull this up here from the Wizard of Oz, because they've done a great job of cartooning witches and spells and demons and that, right? And now, my pretty, right? Just let this get inside of you and think this is what they've done to us. Go ahead, Jared, real quickly.
Let's go. We'll see the first three go before her. And her mangy little dog, too.
Little demons around her.
How about a little fire?
Look at those demons behind her.
Don't throw that water! You cursed brat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world! Who would have thought a good little girl like you could destroy my beautiful wickedness?
Uh-oh, here come their demon friends in here now. Yeah, ding dong, the witch is dead.
She's dead.
She's dead.
I didn't mean to kill her. Really, I didn't. It's just that he was on fire.
Hail to Dorothy, the wicked witch is dead.
Hail to Dorothy, the wicked witch is dead.
The broom. May we have it?
Please.
Get that for Hillary.
Oh, thank you so much. Now we can go back to the wizard and tell him the wicked witch's name.
Okay, hey, Jared. Thanks, Jared. So, Russ, that's kind of, there's a jumping off spot, isn't it, brother, that we have so made demonology, witchcraft, we've so made that cartoonish that the devil, when we think of the devil, we think of witchcraft. We just laugh through it.
And we do.
Russ, it's black magic for a reason, is it not?
Yes,
welcome,
it is.
Russ. Welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here. Good to be with everybody, and good to see you again. Thank you, man. Thanks for being boots on the ground, too. Yeah, that's kind of hilarious. And all the witches that I've ever met, Wiccans, they would hate that. They would absolutely hate that to see that. They just don't want to see that. But old witchcraft is not the same as modern day, dumbed down, you know, kind of new age witchcraft. But it's all there. The reality of them, the powers of them, it's all there.
And Russ, we think, I think, as we went, we were down in Austin, Texas, as I said, and we went to the pro-abortion, anti-abortion, we want to abolish abortion. We walked on the other side of the state house, and while we were there, Russ, they were having a We Hate Trump rally. And so some of us went over there, and we looked through the signs. We walked through the crowd. And Russ, I want to play something. Jared, get that video from yesterday up, the one that you created. Russ, I want you to hear this, too. Maybe we can forward this a little bit, Jared, to about the one-minute mark. We saw this yesterday when we were down there, Russ. I recorded it on my phone. The music that they are playing at this rally. Now, this is pre-rally, but they're practicing what they're going to play. And I want you to talk real quickly when we come back to this, Russ, about demonic music. Demonic music. We were listening to this. We didn't even know what language it was. Go ahead with that one real quick, Jared. Thanks for being Johnny on the spot there.
Hey, folks, it's today. We've been here in Austin, Texas all morning, and now I want you to listen to this.
Can't tell.
We're on the other side. There's a Never Trump rally, an anti-Trump rally over there. They said there's going to be 20,000 people.
Go ahead and forward it a little bit, Jared, till we really get into the music. Go to about the minute mark. There we go. So we're doing Christian stuff on the other side, Russ.
Yep.
Her microphone's off. It'll tune up here in a minute. Happened there, Jerry? We lost the volume. There we go. Folks, you hear that? You can stop that, Jerry. And Russ, she actually said at one point, sing along. I'm not making that up. Sing along, you know. So I'm sitting there. What about this power of music, Russ? Is there such a thing as summoning of demons? We saw, folks, I feel like I'm all over the place right now. Stay with me a second. We saw the witches actively came out, were casting spells on Donald Trump. We hear this stuff. Is this summon demons, Russ? What's it all about?
Well, yeah, I can. If that's the intent, I mean, music is an avenue. Well, we use it in worship. Look at Psalm 149, 150. Use every instrument to the praise of God. And God's power can be involved in that. We know that in worship. And so we use that instrument, you know, those instruments. But on the other side of the fence, if you remember Ezekiel 28, the tabrets and pipes were in Satan. He had, most believe that he had musical abilities. So there's no question about
it. Hey, folks, stop. Think about that a second, Russ. It actually, when he breathed out, he made noise, made music, didn't he?
Well, it could be.
They were inside of him.
Yeah, and you can think of Pan and the music that's drawn. So you've got to look at the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey. He used classical music. He wrote classical. One's called Rage Satanas, in which he talks, the lyrics are about the destruction of the body of Christ and the reign of Satanism, you know, coming. So that's, I mean, you've got all kinds of styles, but you also have like Slayer, South of Heaven album. There's a song called Spill the Blood. When you do a little lyric analysis in a lot of the Scandinavian really heavy metal groups, you're going to see them, how they blaspheme Christ, how they call on Satan, how they, well, spill the blood is like a ritual summoning. It calls on the listener to shed blood and give themselves over to the demons or to Satan in an album, and they do it in concerts. So there's no question that Satan uses music, uses musicians. We see it in a popular way. We see it in every, you know, we see it in the old stuff from the 60s. There's no question about that. Now, in the Wiccans and among the Wiccans and a lot of others, you do have to look for what's called twilight language. That is demonically inspired language that's used in ritual to summon demons or to send them. That could be done in music. Now, I don't know what that girl was singing. It sounded almost African in a sense, but
it wasn't the Beatles, though, was it?
No, it was not. It wasn't the Beatles. No, it was not.
So, again, you know, they're singing their praise songs, whatever you want to, whoever it is that they're praising. One of the themes I'm trying to have here, Russ, and we just briefly before you came on the show, we talked about the fact that the devil has really come out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that in your 3 decades of covering this stuff, you probably you've been aware of all this. You've been seeing this stuff has been undercover and in hiding. And, Russ, it's coming right out there now for all of us to see it. What do you think is happening that's making this stuff manifest itself so strongly?
Well, I think, again, I could read hundreds of books, do a lot of research, engage the underground, but the Word of God in prophecy gives the insight. We're told again and again and again how in the end of days the satanic side is going to ramp up like never before. They're going to be bringing out in experiences, encounters. If we read Revelation 12, Satan and his minions, they're going to seek they're on a global quest. So they want to bring assimilation to the entire globe. They want powers here, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, every kind of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So we're going to read in Scripture, there is prophecy that as we come to the end of days, not only do we have the picture that they're going to be all over the place, but that's the cause behind the end of days. The coming of the times of sorrows, the wars and rumors of wars, the coming of the Antichrist, false prophet, opening of the abyss, wrath of Antichrist, persecution. It all has a spiritual backdrop. They're driving by design. It is so we got to quit thinking in terms of Satan's over, you know, a little imp behind a tree over there, or a little but you know, little thing over here. The truth is, biblically speaking, he's going to be all over the place in the end of days, and the deception will be like nothing else in all of history, and the destruction will be nothing like nothing else in all history. So you've got more possessions, more engagement, sleep paralysis, demons engaging people, and the underground. Now, let me tell you this, Coach, that the underground that we've seen and confiscated, we've been to ritual sites, dug up bones and brought them back to police departments. We've been to so many places to see the underground. The underground is where the real rituals, the blood and guts, the real human sacrifice, all of the real, really dark stuff that fuels a global quest. Now, that's been surfacing. I you know, we've known Wiccans have done, and you could talk about Wiccans and Druids and pagans, the varieties of kinds of Wiccans, Gardenian or Basque, and all the different kinds, self-styled. But now you have hundreds of thousands of practitioners, priests, priestesses, maguses, warlocks, sorcerers. You've got now tens of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of necromancers. And so that just simply opens more doors and more, and they're learning the old ways of how, here's the big issue for Christians. Not only do they open the door for spirits in their lives, they're learning how to use conjurings to conjure spirits and send them in a hex, a spell, a curse. They're doing that on a broad scale. The underground's been doing it for years, targeting churches and pastors. But now that we've seen this latest thing, they connected through social media, you know, all across the board. They connected thousands of individuals that would be willing to, and they're going to keep doing it for the whole year. Every single month, they're going to join together collectively, like the New Age did in convergences. So we can expect more demonization, more people showing up. When we're on the field, when you're on the field like that, in that crowd, I can guarantee you, if there was interaction evangelistically in that crowd, you're going to find people that know a lot about the dark side spirits and demonized people.
So, Russ, Rich, I want you to jump here a second. Get ready. I want you to explain what you saw when we walked through that crowd. Russ, it's not just enough for us to say those people are lost. Those poor people are lost. When we were there for our anti-abortion rally, we walked around the state house. We ran into this crowd. They're playing this music, and we just say, we have a tendency from a Christianity standpoint to just feel bad and say, oh, they just need Jesus. They're so lost. Mm-hmm. Rich, it's deeper than that, ain't it, buddy?
It is. You know, I come home and I sit and thinking last night, there was a young female in her early 20s, and she was standing there talking to Robert, trying to convince Robert that we don't need a wall because Mexico just allows us in. And she was trying to convince him that she goes to Mexico all the time and doesn't need a passport. And I'm standing there and I'm going to Mexico in another week. And my wife and I go each year, and your papers better be right to get in, and they better be right to get out. And I, as I sitting here last night thinking, you know, she knew she was lying and selling it. I mean, you don't get in there without documentation.
So he's a liar and a father of lies. And so, Russ, one of the way that the other side works is they're not just stupid. Right. They're demonically powered. And what we don't understand how big this underground church of Satan, we'll call it whatever you want to. Yeah. We don't understand how big this thing is, do we?
We do not. And let me just make a quick overview. You've got the Church of Satan. You've got traditional Satanism, non-traditional Satanism, psycho-Satanism. You've got self-styled Satanism. You've got the Satanic Temple, the Harvard secular Satanism. You've got the real underground Satanism. You've got witchcraft in many varieties, and Druids and Pagans. You've got Santeria, Palo Mahombi. You've got every kind of New Age practice, channeling of spirits. If you go to Mexico, you've got the saint of death. Now, this is where thousands need to pray on both sides of the border. The last estimate in Mexico, Coach, is 12 million Mexicans. They will gather around what is called Santa Muerte, the saint of death. It is a skeleton dressed with a wedding gown. You'll see pictures of them, moms and children, going to give sacrificial offerings. They all know the spirit behind it is real. The drug lords use poleros and what we would think of as the priest summoners. They use summoners to summon demons to aid them against law enforcement. So in Mexico, if anybody can read the reports, Mexican law enforcement, they began to go to other kinds of voodoo people or shamans or whatever to try to get, to wear things that would protect them from those demons. So there's a big, massive spiritual, it's bad in Mexico. It's broad in the United States. But again, what we see on the, we can research the above ground. But I'm going to tell you again, the underground that we've done and engaged, it is broader, it is more sophisticated, it involves criminality and crime and abduction and human trafficking. They don't mind abortion because in rituals, and I don't want to go too far with this unless you want me to, they will take a baby out of a womb prior. By the way, Jesus in biblical Greek called the baby Braphos. In biblical Greek, when Jesus referred to the child in the womb, Braphos means a living human being, a baby inside the womb. So it's always called that in Scripture, Old New Testament. And yet the underground will take out a fetus, which would be, in a sense, abortion, and do a sacrificial ritual with it to draw powers.
See, it just blows our mind to think that kind of stuff. Because again, Wizard of Oz, all this kind of stuff, casting spells, riding on broomsticks, Halloween. We don't understand the depth of it. Casper the friendly ghost, right? My comes as an angel of light, right? If the witch came as a witch, we ain't stupid, man. We ain't going to see that, right? We're smart enough. So talk about this real quickly, Russ, because I was thinking about as you were talking about the – you talked about that angel of death. There is an angel of death. Talk, Russ, take a couple minutes here and talk about spiritual hierarchy, principalities, powers, because we read that in Ephesians.
Sure.
But it doesn't really mean anything to us, right? It'd be like us saying elected officials, congressmen, senators, principalities, powers. There is a hierarchy, is there not?
Yeah, because we and when that's taught well, we do, you know, people mention principalities, powers, and wickedness. Now, in the biblical Greek, again, there are four designations of demonic, the demonic. And there's a reason for that. The Spirit of God kind of called them out. We read in Ephesians 2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work. He's at work in those who are disobedient. We read in Timothy 4:1, the seducing spirits, they're called planos, meaning imposters, seducers. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 down, when we are told that our struggle, our battle, our fight is against Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, Parnaeus, Numenikai. Four different kinds.
Wow. Of
God, you know, he outs them. They are different. Cosmocrators are like, if you think in terms, if you understand Ascended Masters, the Great White Brotherhood, and New Agers will understand that, and old occultists will understand that. The Archon are rulers. They rule over maybe nations like the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece. Then you have Exousia, those that have authority. They may be running drug trade, human trafficking. They've got authority over areas and towns and so forth. Porneus Numenikai, that is meaning where, you know, where we get the terminology. That includes the concept of pornography, wickedness, evil. Kind of spirit, those are the ones that are possessing. So there is a hierarchy on a global scale. There is what I would say. It's like the entire earth. Truly, biblically speaking, the entire earth is grid mapped. There's a hierarchy of the demonic over nations, over cities, over again, I would say drug trade and human trafficking. And there's particular kinds of demons over Islam and over New Age. New Age would be like planos spirits. And that's like a billion people that are being seduced when like demons are like angels of light. Satan is like an angel of light. So there's a hierarchy. Now, Jesus dealt with them no matter what they were. He just cast them out. He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy, so we can come against all of it. But they are. We've been given this for a reason. We should understand the enemy and the hierarchy and how they're working. That's understanding the origin, the nature, and the method. One thing that's missing, though, Coach, is the biblical unveiling of the agenda. We're all sitting around, and many people sit around, oh, yes, it's gotten worse. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in the 1950s, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's because the scriptures, the word of God, predicted more demons, more of Satan's agenda, more ramping up in the world than ever in history, and we're going to see it. We're going to see it manifesting in physical events, wars, earthquake things, all the things that are happening. There's a spiritual backdrop, a hierarchy, a by design. They are more sophisticated. They are more operative than intelligence agencies. They're more precise than governments. If we understand the biblical side of this, it's huge. And the world is what's, you know, the world needs to worry. As believers, we're concerned because this is what God said they're going to be doing, and we should ramp up, and we should use all that we have in Christ in evangelism, discipleship, equipping, deploying people, because the other side is going to cripple the church and suppress the church and silence the believer. Amen. if we're not aware.
Jared, pull up Ephesians 6 while I ask Russ another question. So Russ, having said that, this is one of my concerns. By the way, Russ and I are both going to be at Hear the Watchman, and down in a lot of the guys on the queue are going to be down there as well. March 31st, I believe it starts in Dallas. Hear the Watchman. Go to that website, hearthewatchman.com. Get to hear Russ up close and personal. Here's what I always sense, Russ, when I'm there. It's almost, as a football coach, or I used to call it paralysis by analysis. You get so much information, you're frozen, you know? Mm-hmm. And so as we listen to this, and I get emails, and I'm sure you do too, we get a tendency to say, well, geez, what can we do then? What if we can do? If this is what the Bible says is going to happen, we're just, we're just wasting our time. I'm just going to hunker down in my church and just pray and que sera, sera, right? It's right. A wrong attitude, but you understand that attitude, Russ, right? What do we do?
Well, it is. It's the Goliath and David principle, you know, and all the warriors, all the soldiers, all the ones trained, where were they? They are hiding up in the rocks. Mm-hmm. Guess what? God didn't visit them. God didn't speak to them. God didn't guide them. God's hand wasn't there. There was no miracle as they hid in the rocks. One individual got incensed about this. They got incensed.
That's now, right.
I say this way, it burned his britches. He got down and again in the name of the God of heaven, and he literally ran out on the field. That's the kind of believers that we can be by the millions, running right onto the field, going right up to Goliath. He didn't fear Goliath. He didn't fear any loss. He risked it all. And guess where God showed up? On the field.
Showed up in that little stone, didn't he, brother? Showed up right in that little stone.
He sure did.
And so, while those other guys are hiding in those big rocks, the Lord shows up in a little rock.
Right. Right. So if we do nothing, we allow the Goliath of cultism and witchcraft, and we allow all of it to go uncontested. And that's
no wonder it's getting worse, huh?
Right. And think in terms again, where I live in a city of 500 churches, or where I came from, maybe Canton's got 300, I don't know. But between Canton and Akron, there's probably 800, 900 churches. Very few are winning souls left and right. Very few. I don't know, but two or three that do deliverance. I don't know, but a couple that do major prayer. So we're missing the elements of power and weaponry, spiritually speaking, that we do have, that any of us, and I'm going to say this, there's any Christian listening to this, you don't have to wait on anybody. You do not have to wait on anybody. You can step out. You can begin to grow. You can begin to learn. You can know your authority. You can become a soul winner. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. You can look at Acts chapter 8, where Philip, one young believer, second-generation Christian. There was a town where there was a high priest, dark stuff, dark spirits. The whole town was captivated. The whole town. He went in there with the kingdom of God, and he cleaned clock. He cleaned their clock. I mean, he literally went in there.
That's right.
And you take a look at Acts chapter 8. Now, that's the kind of training and equipping I would want to do, because there's nothing else. Just even in this is awareness. But if we're going to do, maybe down the road, Coach, we can spend some Tuesdays if you want, just giving detailed, I'll work out an outline or whatever, but detailed equipping.
Yes.
Sooner or later, like you on boots on the ground, sooner or later, you got to take, 20 people out on the, on the streets, or 100 or 1,000 out on the streets, and then keep doing that. Amen. Once we step out to do that, Acts 5:42, they never stopped. They never stopped. So the majority
our turn now.
Right. And well, and here's your frustration and my frustration, and many, many others probably. Most believers have not been equipped and deployed out on to do the actual ministry. They've been just kind of built as, it's kind of like the church being suppressed, being ignorant. When I say that, lacking understanding of the enemy, how he wants to suppress and quiet the church. As long as he can quiet and cripple the church, he's not going to worry about it. And then he's going to go do what he wants to do. But if you got the church evangelizing, packed with intercession, doing spiritual warfare, praying for healing, if you got the church doing deliverance, and you're training the more than half of your church to be out on the field and to be out in the highways and byways every single week, then Satan will take notice. And that's okay, because when the power encounters come, God always wins. God,
yes,
in the
sir.
Book of Acts, he always wins.
This sounds crazy, Russ. I jokingly tell people I want the devil to know my name. right? I want him to do. I want him to.
He knows your name.
He knows my name, right? Hey, hey, Rich, I got a question here, and then Rich, I want you to piggyback on this. Let's have you piggyback on this right now, Rich, because Rich is a big guy. Russ from out. I don't mean to keep picking on Rich or calling on Rich. He's out in Granite City, Illinois, and I ran into him about a year ago and got him engaged in going to the streets, just simply going to the streets. First time I ever met him, Friday night he came to an event. Saturday morning he was at the clinic, 6 o'clock. He was there before anybody was there. Rich, just talk a little bit about what's happened to your faith as you've begun to live it out, even though, for the most part, not even really knowing what to do, not really even understanding, but just knowing I need to make myself available here, Lord.
Yeah, I spent years in the church. And I spent years studying God's word, and I tried to learn and learn and tried to seek wisdom, and it never came until I was out there standing. Every single time I've went, God's word comes alive. When you're standing there at that parade with 400,000 sodomites, the verse, narrow is the way and wide is the gate, it just comes alive in you, and you can't learn that sitting in a pew.
You can't.
It becomes real. That the verses become real. And
so we know the demonic has become real to Russ, because he's out there, he sees it, he faces it. He says, this isn't tiddlywinks. This is real. And you only, Russ, you could have preached about it for 30 years. You could stand in your pulpit right now and preach about it. But every time you go, your eyes are open even more, not only to how much there is, but how much it's growing and what its techniques are, right? You got to look at the game film. You got to go watch them play.
And the flip side is, I think it's real to them when they get out there. Their beliefs become real, and they become emboldened.
Mm. Good point.
Sure. There's no question about that. When they see real powers, and that's what we got to understand, just as we read in Scripture, that's how real it is. They have real powers. They have real abilities. Demons can bring counterfeit miracles. They can really do all this. It's real. Just to sit back and say, well, I'm covered in the blood and do nothing, that is not taught anywhere. We're not taught that. We are right. under the authority of Christ. We're told in 1 John 5 we'll be protected by him, but we are called to be the church that's been sent out to the very front gates of hell, and Jesus promised the gates of hell will not prevail. So if there's no soul winners, no one's getting saved. If there's no prayer warriors, there's no answers. If there's no one going to command a demon out of a human being, like those two 12-year-olds that tried to kill the other 12-year-old because they got into Slender Man stuff, then we're going to continue to see this ruckus, and society can't stop it. Education, secular education can't stop it. Look at the drug trade here in Ohio. Look at heroin in Ohio.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And I got a text the other night, broke my heart. I'm going to call them today up north in Ohio. Once again, drug trade stuff. That, you know what they're saying? You know, this text said to me, Russ, because we went to there, this house where you got Satanism, you got the backdrop to it, you got drugs, you got sexual abuse all over the place. We just keep going up there. We took them turkey and food, and they had no food. Their water was turned off. We paid their water bill. I bought Bibles to take up. None of them are saved yet, but we are up there again and again. I got a text. You know what it said? Russ, we don't understand this. My brother and I have never in all of our lives had anybody give us this kind of attention or help us. This kid out of sexual abuse. So now there's a big upheaval up there, and the girlfriend that kind of avoided us when we tried to witness to everybody in the house, because we were praying over everybody, we were witnessing to everybody, she's begging us. She's begging us to come up there and help. She says, here's what she said. You guys are our last hope.
Wow.
That's incredible.
They recognize it, huh? They recognize it.
They saw Jesus. They saw God's, you know, they saw hope. They heard stuff. So when we take Christ, when we take the word of God, when we take it right out there where you're going, and we unleash, then we can expect and see power come down. We can expect and see truly people get saved, healed, delivered, and major encounters. And I'm telling you what, there's no lack in God's power. There's no fading in God's power. Everything is available to any believer who wants to be a part of that. It is the most exciting life. It is so fun. We wear ourselves out doing it at times.
Learn on the job training. You learn as you go, right?
You do. And you do get bolder in a sense. On the one hand, you see what God does, and it just lights you up. You're on cloud nine when you see what God does in lives. On the other hand, as Rich was saying, you see the dark side and its growth, and it's literally just sucking, the multitudes in. It's an outrage. It's an outrage. And our answer to that is under the Lordship of Christ. We have to change everything immediately.
Wow.
Change church the way it's going. Change everything and come back to the way it was done when Jesus taught and deployed. We're not a church that's deployed.
No, my email's blown up. My text messages are blown up, Russ, because we are so ignorant of this. We're so ignorant. So I got two things here real quickly, Russ. Somebody said, if the devil's number is 666, is the Lord's number 777? What's his number? And then the second question that from a school teacher, what do you do when the art teacher in your school is having the kids draw pictures of Slender Man? What should be our approach in situations like that? Two of them, if you can get at them.
Sure. The first one, no. There's no actual scripture that says God's number 777. Although in the book of Revelation, we have this constant theme of sevens. Most biblical scholars will say seven is the number of completion, the number of God in that sense. But there's no actual phrase that says God's number 777.
He's number one, isn't he, Russ? I think he's number one.
I think that's best to think in terms that way. Yeah. He is El Elyon. He is the high God. He is it. And so the second question?
Slender Man pictures.
Well, listen, that is an outrage to me. That is an absolute outrage to me because Slender Man is coming from books written by an individual. These are demonized writings. Just as there's doctrines of demons in books like Helena Blavatsky or Alice Bailey or the Course in Miracles, where demons guide the writing, demons can guide lyrics in a song.
Wow.
Demons can guide fantasy writings. Here's what I believe about Slenderman. I believe that even the picture is the demon that inspired the individual to draw a concept of the actual demon that's involved. So if you've got kids drawing a concept of a demon, and if anybody reads Slenderman, and I did this, I did a research on it, heavy research, the attributes of Slender Man are exactly the same attributes of Satan. If you look at the biblical attributes of Satan and the attributes written in Slender Man stories, they match.
See, Russ, my education background teaches me kids basically learn three different ways: visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically, right? Mm-hmm. So the drawing of Slender Man, that's right where hair stood up on the back of my neck thinking, oh my goodness, huh? Yeah. That is literally taking that inside of you when you conceptualize in your mind and you're doing that stuff. That's deeply, deeply evil.
Sure. And that's a little door and another little door and another little door. And the two 12-year-old girls that really got into it, now they said Slender Man talked to them. They heard the they went far enough into it. They heard voices, and the voices told those two girls to conspire and bring the other 12-year-old girl out into the woods and blood sacrifice her so that Slender Man would come and get them and take them to the castle in the woods. They actually believed the voices that came from their pursuit in Slender Man, and they actually tried. The girl didn't die. She crawled out of the woods. And the two girls, the last report I read, 6 months later on the one girl, the psychologist asked her coach that if she was released, would this happen again? She said, well, Slenderman, he's alive. If he tells me to do that, I will do that.
My goodness.
She needs deliverance.
She does.
Not pills. She needs deliverance.
Folks, I just want to throw this out here as an aside. I was thinking as I'm looking at my email and on my phone. Yes, Russ does come to churches. Yes, he does. He will come. He will come to your church and do seminars on the weekend. And he's not going to charge you an arm and a leg to do that. He, of course, has to make a living as he does it. He brings his materials that he'll sell and all that kind of stuff. But if you're listening and say, man, oh, man, our people need to hear this. First of all, Russ, they're going to have a hard time convincing their pastor, aren't they? He just it's just probably not an area that he wants to go. But even someone would be willing to find a church that you could rent a church or even a building. It doesn't have to be a church. Russ would be honored to be able to come in. And you can find him at shatterthedarkness.net. You can contact him there. Explain real quickly, Russ, what a weekend seminar with you would be like.
Well, it really depends on what they want locally. When I go to a local church, we can design a 5-6 hours of teaching just on a Saturday. Starting the morning, having a lunch break and a later break. And so it really would depend on pastors or leaders telling me what they think they need. And we could suggest we can do this and we can do this one. We can combine evangelism and spiritual warfare, do Friday night teaching, teach Saturday morning, send everybody out on the field until 7 o'clock at night, bring everybody back at 7 o'clock, have everybody tell the stories of evangelism and pray for people.
Wow. Yeah.
And doing that. And then on Sunday morning, do a sermon. Now, let's not forget, Coach, I'm coming down to see you May 19th mm-hmm. and May 20th in your area.
Right.
You hooked me up with a pastor, and I talked to him. I heard his cry for help. And so we've got it connected. I'm coming.
Ellie's
coming. You're going to be there.
We know this, Russ. If it's happening in this good man's life, what must it be like out there, right? And so here he is fighting all the battles he's fighting, and this is happening right in his life. Think what the average Christian's dealing with, and they don't even know they're dealing with it. And we want to be able to do what the Word says to equip, train, mobilize, right? That we're going to be more effective in what it is that we're trying to get done here. So, again, that was Russ comes. Yes, Russ will come. Yes, he will. He'd be glad to come. But you got, there'd be some legwork that you have to do to set things up. But it would be risky. Listen, it's going to be – folks, listen. Of course it's risky. Of course it is. Of course people are going to say you're stupid. And of course they're saying that, y'all, you're off on the deep end. And of course they're going to say that you're wearing a tinfoil hat. Of course they're going to say you've lost your mind. But if this is true, then you are going to have to stand up and defend the truth. See, I was listening this morning. It says, Jesus said, if you will deny me before my Father or before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Listen, he's the truth. If you deny the truth. See, you don't have to say deny Jesus. You deny the truth. You're denying Jesus. And so you sitting right where you are and you're listening to this right now, you could impact your little community by setting up an event and bringing Russ in, and you'd be surprised the eyes and the doors might be open as a result of it. Let me pause right there. Anybody in the queue got a question? Because I've kind of dominated here so far and haven't meant to do that. Pastor Wayne, jump in here. Then
hey,
Sarah.
Coach, real quick, I just have a testimony, and because I've been listening to Russ for ever since he's been on, I made a few adjustments in our worship service because I really got convicted that, as Russ said, we pray for 45 seconds and that's about it. And so, 3 Sundays ago, we had people on their knees, everybody in the auditorium, beginning with 12 minutes of prayer, confession, whatever. I mean, it was
hallelujah.
Awesome. Now we had
blessing.
3 people last week. At death's door, and I'm not kidding, death's door, we went to prayer, and every one of those people are alive and well.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Last week, I borrowed some of the areas of demonic oppression, of obsession and attachment and that. It was so good. But by the time we got through, I had people walking down the aisle crying, because they know what this is, but they just couldn't. They just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And people all over the altar praying. I mean, it was awesome. It was just awesome. Just a little tweak of adjustments of priority.
Isn't that something?
That's awesome.
Because, Russ, a lot of times you're walking in an environment and you'll feel it, right? You feel the oppression. You feel whatever. And I'll leave with my wife and say, oh, did you feel that? Or she'll say, oh, I felt that as soon as we walked in there. Russ, we feel it, but we don't know what to do about it,
It's true. And as you were saying earlier, I think it's more risky not to do what we should be doing. because sooner or later, then we're labeled Laodicea. I mean, that's not a cliche. That's a possibility. Sardis was a church. Jesus said, you were once alive and you became dead. The call to repent and do the works. Remember what you got and do the works. Here's why I'm saying revival can occur in any believer's life right now if we do what we need to do to return. That's true of churches. That's true when we when nobody's doing it, when there's people praying, you know, when suddenly the Spirit of God strikes in revivals, all the Spirit of God is doing is awakening the believers to where, you know, to the deadness that's there, the suppression that's there, and calling them back to the very things we're talking about. The Lordship of Christ, He's alive, He lives in me. The Spirit of God is operative in me. So that,
Russ, I just got to say this because since we've been doing this show, and it's not a pat on the back to me, although I can do that, I do a good job of that. I'm my favorite person.
We'll do that for you. We'll
all understand that, right? But I daily, folks, I hear from people who say, because I've been watching the huddle, that's what we call it, I've never felt more alive. There's power. There is real power in truth, isn't it, Russ? Real power in truth.
There is. And you know what? Well, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It is a matter of power and joy in the Spirit of God. So there's, listen, we can experience the conscious, joyful presence of God every day. You know why? He's never left you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And praise, He inhabits.
There you go.
Spirit of God is in prayer. The Word of God is alive and speaking. But when you get on the field to do the works, remember how we talked about this last time, the Word of God and the works of God, they got to be combined.
Amen, brother.
if you don't have enough word, you don't really know how to do the works. If you have a lot of word and don't do anything, then you're just kind of stuffed. So Word of God and works of God are inseparable.
Unbelievable. What a picture that is, brother. Huh?
Yeah.
Faith without works, right? Faith without works. You can hear it all you want to. And if you didn't do it, it isn't really alive in you. Sarah, you had a question there.
Russ, getting back to the Slender Man, I've been reading over the past couple of days about something new that's happening out in the Russia, Kyrgyzstan, the Stan area, and it's called Blue Whale. Have you heard anything about that?
Somebody sent me a notation yesterday. I just began to read a little bit about it, and the kids are being, what is it? They're being inspired to commit suicide, right?
Yeah, and they're carving blue whales onto their skin, and then they're jumping off of buildings. I don't quite understand, because most of the sites that I've gone to read about it are not in very good translation English, but they're thinking that they can just about fly.
Right.
Extent.
Well, now, and I would say this, investigated on this sense too, is there drugs involved? You know, because drugs, you know, especially like acid and things like that, you've got individuals that thought they, you know, the demons speak through that. So I'm going to tell you, there may be drugs involved, but also, you know, demons know how, we call it impulse suicide. Okay. I believe that in impulse suicide, like they had in Britain a few years ago, Brighton, I believe it was, and one kid and another kid and another kid and 10 and 12. And I've dealt with this in a local school where there's one kid that shot, then a cheerleader girl that I was working with, this whole group of kids, she went out and hung herself. I believe demons can inspire, speak. We have commanded demonic oppression off people that were hearing, kill yourself, kill yourself. Mm. So the demonic side is involved in that.
Russ, my head spins every time I talk to you, because I become more and more aware every time that you're on here. I know I'm speaking for everybody else. I become more and more aware of how inadequate I am in my knowledge of what's really going on. See, I'm out on the cutting edge because I even acknowledge this stuff, right? I mean, I just say to people, yeah, this is real. Obama is – the demons are working in Obama. Hillary, yeah, that's really going – and see, I'm just – Russ, I'm just in the – I'm in the low water, man. I'm not out in the deep. And so this need for this kind of stuff, is it any wonder the church is being pummeled and trampled the way that it is? The false doctrines that have come in, the things that pastors are not now teaching, the salt of the world has come into the church. The church has lost all of its impact. It's because it's these basic things that you're talking about right here. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And again, that's where, again, either the other side, you know, advances and the church is, you know, shoved back and suppressed. Or like Pastor just said here a little bit ago, they changed a little bit of stuff. And yeah. I mean, prayer is where power, you know, John Wesley said prayer is where the action is. So if we see these huge promises of God in the context of prayer, miracles, you know, and all these promises that we have, why aren't we just, I mean, why is the church not the house of prayer? Why is it not filled and packed from beginning to end? Most churches, and I'm going to be honest, I'm a pastor. I was a pastor, local pastor. I've been around many other churches. I love the body of Christ. But I'm going to say, when the body of Christ gets off its centrality with Jesus, the Spirit of God, and doing the word and the works, it then turns into let's turn the church, let's enculturate it. More important is this, you know, the what the building looks like and the ambiance and the worry of what one or two visitors will think. And then all of a sudden the church is dumbed down, and here's the truth. The people are bored. They don't even remember this. They'll go to a 55, 60 minute service. They'll go out to eat for 2 hours and a half. They won't remember what they just went through.
It's the truth.
And they're not walking out saying, "Wow, God was all over the place." That's what the body of Christ can be. Acts chapter 4 shows that all the way through. He's the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. We can count on him. And here's again a word I just want to give. I'm not going to wait on everybody. We're not supposed to wait on everybody. You and I, all of us can go out, and I'm just going to give one more plug for May 19th and 20th. Coach Dave, myself in L.A., I'm bringing all my teams. I'm going to bring everybody I can. I think we're going to come out a day in advance just to do evangelism around the city.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, let's make it really huge. And call in. We got a couple other churches that might want to involve themselves now. We know of a couple of churches down there. They might want to come and bring their people.
Awesome.
So let's make the 19th and 20th of May, that whole weekend, let's make it huge, Coach.
Let's do it, brother. And Russ, I've been out of town. We'll get working, get it all posted, work out all the details. Sure. I got some things to speak with you about, some thoughts that I had. But we're going to do it, brother. And okay. Hey, listen, folks, you don't. Russ is about two hours from me, maybe a little bit more. And he does ministry work down here all the time. I didn't even know it. I met Russ a couple of years ago. I'd never even heard of the guy. Right. And here he's down here in my neighborhood, doing this satanic ritual abuse and MK Ultra and deliverance. Has been doing it right down here in my own neighborhood. And I didn't even know it. So I want people to listen, folks, you have got to open your mouth. You've got to open your mouth, and you have got to begin to speak about these things. And yes, you have to step over the edge. And when you're in a conversation and people are talking about something that's gone on, don't be afraid to say, yeah, that is demonic activity. Don't be afraid to say that, because otherwise people are not going to ever understand it. And you will plant hundreds and hundreds of seeds before you get anybody who might take the bait. But all you got to do is get a hold of one, and it will begin to spread like that. But because we are so politically correct and so afraid, we don't even speak the truth and call it out. Call out sin what it is. And I hate to come back to that, and I don't hate to come back to it, that if you deny the truth before men, he will deny you before his Father. So much for that once saved, always saved stuff. I'm not neither here nor there, but if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't you want to defend his truth before men? That's our obligation. That's what we're supposed to do. Yes, sir.
Coach?
Yes.
You know, Russ was talking about prayer. And why prayer sometimes doesn't produce results. You know, it's really, in my mind, fairly simple. James says that you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And everybody's taken that to mean you're asking for the wrong thing. Well, it can also mean you're asking the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as asking for the wrong thing is, Jesus taught us to pray for God's will. But most prayer I've heard coming from most pulpits and most prayer groups and prayer chains and things is praying for things that we figured God should pay attention to.
God ought to want to do this
instead
here.
Of putting the trust in Him, we have our own ideas and we start praying for them to be manifested. And God is not obligated to manifest our ideas unless they are also His. Sometimes we get lucky and they are. But if we'd learned to pray asking for His first, then every prayer we prayed would be answered.
Yeah. And hey, Russ, very good, Larry. Russ, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I did a show, I don't know, six months ago maybe, on that very thing. What makes a prayer effectual? I can be fervent. I can get down and eat the carpet and cry and be loud. I can do all that. I can be as fervent. How you be effectual? What does that mean, Russ?
Number one, in that context, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous believer, a believer who's walking with God. If you're in tune with the Lord, if you're in tune with the Word of God, you can't be in tune with the Lord without being in tune with the Word. You can't be in tune with the Spirit of God. So if you're in tune, walking in the Spirit, walking in Christ, walking in righteousness, walking in truth, it's very clear. Jesus said this in John Gospel 15th chapter. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you by my Father. This is to my Father's glory. So we also have this other verse. And so I'm going to start off with saying it, if you are the kind of believer that's walking in the Lord, that has a lot to do with it. That's why it says that there, that a real strong believer, that's why I scream out constantly, become strong in the Lord, become strong in soul winning, make it a goal to become a powerful prayer warrior. You can't if you're carnal. You can't if you're ignorant of Scripture. You can't if you're going to live in fear. So you got to become a powerful, growing believer that's not self-righteous, but walking in the Word, right? You know, walking righteousness out. And I'll give one other scripture. That's in 1 John 5. We read, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. It's the Greek word akouo. He hearkens to us. He's really going to hear us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the answers.
So we're in the right frequency. Is that what it is, right?
Really, truly, yes. I mean, that sense, you know, we're in right relationship. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Isn't that what the prophet Amos said? So we have to be walking. And that's where, again, prayer can be powerful. We can have confidence and we can be competent in prayer. We can have the Spirit of God move on us in prayer if we begin to spend time. But it comes from our walk. If we don't have any walk in Jesus, there's not going to be, you know, if our walk is weak, your prayers are weak. If our walk is weak, our witnessing is weak. So if your walk in Christ, John's Gospel 15, if you abide, make your home and you live in Jesus, and His word comes into your life and you're applying it and putting it into practice and obeying it, ask the Father for
anything,
whatever.
Huh? Wow.
Your prayer, the promise is the prayer is going to become powerful.
So that makes it effectual, doesn't it?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It springs out of your walk.
We've got about 3 minutes left. Somebody have a question? Did I hear there?
Yeah. You know, it says, ask what you will, but see, when you're that close walking with the Spirit, your will is going to be His will.
Perfect point, Larry. That's why I said that God will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean you pray and He'll give you what you want. He will change the desire of your heart so that the desire of your heart is in line with what His will is. It's a connection of frequency again. Yeah. That's really all it is. You find yourself praying His will.
Yeah, and that verse you're mentioning out of Psalm 37 is, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Right. So there's that sense. You know, you love Him, you walk with Him, and you love Him, you're going to obey Him, and you're going to grow deep in Him. And out of that comes deep worship, deep prayer, deep soul winning, deep care. And you become literally just an on-fire believer who never once you're really knowing that on fire, and you really are walking with Him, and you really see God at work, you don't want to lose that.
Amen, brother. Amen. Folks, a little house cleaning here. Russ's website is shatterthedarkness.net, all one word, shatterthedarkness.net. There's more free information on his website You get on there, you won't be, it's just one after another, shatterthedarkness.net. Now let us bang two things here that were important. Both Russ and I, and a lot of the people here on the queue, we are going to be in Dallas, Texas, hear the Watchman Conference, March 30, 31, and April 1 is when I think it is. Go to hearthewatchman.com. You can sign up there. They do live streaming there. I'm telling you, there's going to be some great, great stuff going on, but you'll be able to hear Russ personally. And then also, as he mentioned, the 19th and 20th of May, we're going to have him right here in the Columbus, Ohio, the Newark, Ohio area, and we're going to expose people to some of these things that they'd never dreamed about in their whole lives. So if you're even close to the Columbus, Ohio area, put that thing on your calendar right now. We'll get more details out to you. But I know Russ's heart is to train and equip and mobilize. Hey, Russ, you can't do this alone, can you, bud?
No, I mean, the good news is, I'm going to do it, I love it. It's the most exciting thing. You have a million testimonies and stories of all the things we've seen and done, and you just see God faithful all the time. But no, he wants, pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth laborers. The fields are white. That's the issue.
I'm just telling you this. I've done a lot of things in my life. I've been involved in athletics, exciting sports my whole life. I'm more alive today than I have ever been in anything that I have ever done in my life. Living out my faith, understanding that it really is a spiritual war, that spiritual war is bigger than just me and the devil, and that it's a global cosmic battle that's going on, and that the Lord loves me enough that he's allowed me to be on this team, and I get to go out there and take a few foul shots of my own at certain times, and a few driving layups. I get to do that. I get to go out there and take a hack at the plate for him. I get to go out there and kick a field goal for, are you kidding me? I get to be part of this. Folks, I'm just telling you, we are putting out a national call to men and women to rise up. Now is the time, like no time in history. Now is the time. I don't even know what I'm going to do with everybody. I don't even know, but I know that if we can get you awake, if we can waken up the body of Christ, two can send 10,000, one can send 1,000, two 10,000, the power of agreement is just unbelievable. We will overwhelm them, but we have to wake up. We have to enlist on the team. We have to get trained, and then watch the hand of God move. We won't worry about them Republicans. We won't worry about them Democrats. We're going to be the army of God, tearing down strongholds, lifting up the name of the Lord. I'm getting excited just talking about it. Always appreciate you joining us here on Tuesdays, Russ.
Love it.
I'm just telling you, brother, you're blessing a lot of people. We know that you are, and look forward to seeing you there in Dallas in a few weeks and here in the Newark, Ohio area on May 19th and 20th. Hey, God bless you, folks. You can check out Russ at shatterthedarkness.net. You can find me at our website. We're real people. We'll do whatever we can to help, and we're raising up an army of people who are going to stand and push back against the forces of darkness. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.